Welcome to the GOGcast, brought to you by XSplit Broadcaster, simple yet powerful live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah, and I am your host for this show. This is episode number 169. And yes, I had to say it that way, because why not? This week, another great one for you. Thank you for waiting for us to come back. We had a very short week off. Had to go and have a little festivities for Allie's wedding. It was a lot of fun. Plus, the first time that, like, the crew of us got together and, like, did something that was longer than 24 hours together, except for Extra Life.
That was really fun. Like, that little weekend there was absolutely fantastic. I had so much fun.
It was very, very good. Going to tell you about topic of the show this week, because it's another dandy one. If you're interested in getting into some education programs, especially that relate to video games, in particular esports, this is the show for you. This week, I speak to Stefan Mueller, Director of Business Programs, and Henry No, Programming Manager of the Esports Program at the University of California, Irvine Division of Continuing Education. And yes, I know it's in hot, sunny California, but you can take this program online. So you know you want to get all the info on that. Simon, I'm ready to go back to school. Like, legit ready.
I don't want to correct you, but I believe it's pronounced edumacation.
Edumacation.
So, yes, so you might want to
good.
You know, get your good edumacation to
get good.
Do the things.
Do the things
with the
curriculums
exactly.
and the studies and all that. No, seriously though, like, I'm super intrigued by this program, and I might be one of their next folks to enroll. And I said I wasn't going to do any more school.
You'll fuck school.
Famous last words.
Indeed. All right, those friendly voices you're hearing around this digital table include Catherine. How are you?
I'm good. I did not get sunburn, even if it went to the beach.
Oh, Amy. My God. Amen.
But Pascal did, and I did, so that's cool.
Yep. Simon is the other voice. What is that on your arm?
It's a Bloodborne tattoo. Hold on.
Simon got his first tattoo, and he decked himself out with Bloodborne tattoo.
It's difficult to show because it's like at an angle on my forearm.
But it's beautiful.
It's your entire forearm. Wow.
Oh, yeah. It's the whole fucking thing. I love it. It's so cool. Went to a place recommended by my tattooed friend, which is actually pretty close to my place, called Dawn Design. And the guy who did it was P.O. Blackyer. He's fucking awesome. Really cool. Super chill guy. We talked about metal the whole time that I was there. It was
more
pretty
ghost.
Quick. No, like, he went to Vakken 2 years ago, so he was letting me know that he met Overkill. No, he had a drink with the Obituary, and, like, he met bands and stuff, and it was pretty cool. So, yeah,
dope.
We talked a lot, and, because I moved as well.
Yeah, it's been a crazy past few weeks, folks.
Oh, yeah, it's been pretty insane. So, yeah, I'm now back on the South Shore, 10 minutes from work. That's fucking awesome. The only not sad thing, but a lot more Pokestops here, so that's pretty fun.
Yay! Oh, yeah. So getting into what every game everybody's been playing, we can bring into that. We all revived Pokemon Go.
Oh, yeah. Time, especially in Plattsburgh. Like, there was a little university there next to our hotel. Every single day we went, like, sometimes we went in the morning and in the evening, and we just, like, kept going. Like, yo, look at that stuff! Because it was also, like, like a special event weekend or whatever, where because it was Pokemon Go Fest in Chicago, so there was a lot of worldwide stuff happening, like more spawns from Gen 3 starters and all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty awesome. And this week you get double candy for every egg hatch and every Pokemon caught.
I was about to ask, because I thought it was because I had an incense going when I was yesterday. Why I was getting so many?
It's the build up to Zapdos weekend, which is happening on Saturday. We're gonna go to the old port. We have a little group of people, so we're gonna get to the old port and do some Zapdos hunting. But I mean, me, Kat, you, we have a group of like 10-15 people that were just like talking about Pokemon Go every single day, and just having a lot of fun, lots of new, it's really fun, lots of cool event. Like, there's something happening almost every week now, an event every weekend, there's something happening. It's honestly, like, there's a lot more stuff to do now. I feel like there's always something for me to do, and there's always, like, that new thing to work towards, too, which is what you want to do, so it's really cool.
Agreed, especially the friends mechanic.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Every morning, I walk out to the bus, and I start... Yeah. Tossing off gifts to all my friends.
Same
and
thing.
Then I go and check the gym and see if I can put my Pokemon there as I go along in the bus.
I'm actually running out of gifts because I have like 12 friends and you can only hold 10 gifts. I'm like, I have to choose who I sent my gifts to on a daily basis.
Or if you hold 10, you use the 10 and then you wait until you walk by two Pokestops and then you send the other two.
I guess so.
But it's funny though because you start, especially since we were all playing this together, I think I got 3 or 4 Plattsburgh Starbucks gifts.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And my favorite one was the Debt Slide. Like at Plattsburgh University, there's a Pokestop called the Debt Slide. I had a lot of fun sending Debt Slides to my friends. That was pretty cool.
Awesome.
I'm also really enjoying how they revamped the gyms because before it was like impossible to take a gym and to hold a gym. Now it's like I feel there's a forced rotation and...
Yeah.
Sometimes I walk by a gym and I know if I can take it or if I cannot. Mm-hmm.
I
actually have coins now that I use to buy raid passes.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a bronze medal at the gym by my house and the one by work. Nice. And I'm like, what? But the thing is, too, is like in the morning I go by, it's yellow. I come back in the afternoon, it's blue. I'm like, I'm going to drop my Pokemon right here.
It changes all the time. Yeah.
It's brilliant.
And I'm lucky enough to have a Charmander nest right next to my place. So actually, after we record this, I'm going to go catch some more Charmanders.
Nice.
So I'm getting 12 candies every time I catch them because I'm using a pineapple berry as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So 12 candies per Charmander caught. I'm getting myself a Charizard.
Oh my God, I'm using the pineapple berries. Okay, and another thing that's interesting, I caught in the wild a Vaporeon.
Yeah.
Why?
I didn't know you could do that.
I didn't either. When it showed up, I was like, ooh, this has to be a bug. Let me click now. Ooh, I caught it.
Getting it. Well, see, it's funny, like, because on my way back from work, there was 3 raids. I, like, level 1 and 2, so I was able to total them. Mm-hmm. And next to one of the raids was a Ninetales just sitting there. I'm like, oh, okay, Ninetales, cool. I'll just catch you then.
I feel like there are raids active more higher level or evolved Pokemon show up. Is that a thing?
I don't know, but there was like 3 raids from level 1 and 2, like in a kilometer radius, and I hit all 3 of them. And in between getting to those 3 raids, there was a Ninetales, so I caught it. So
awesome, awesome possum.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
And I have I changed desk at work, and now I'm by a Pokestop.
Yeah, I'm so jealous. Although I don't know how it works. How, like, they decide where to spawn Pokemons. But, like, when I first opened up Pokemon Go at work a few weeks ago when I started again, there was, like, 2 or 3 Pokemons. Now, sometimes, there's, like, 10 fucking Pokemons just spawning at my work. And I'm pretty sure I'm the only one who plays Pokemon Go at work. So, I don't know if they, like, notice new activity in a certain area and they start spawning more Pokemons or something. But clearly something's happening because I've never seen that many.
I wouldn't know. I'm in the Mile End, man. There's Pokestops and Pokemon.
Well, yeah,
and
I'm in the middle of fucking nowhere. So,
well, I do have some spots which are like no man's zone, like when you cross that bridge. And then actually by work, I think because I'm right next to the highway, there's not a lot. But if I walk up a block, you're good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I've been walking so much more now. Like I walk like 10, 15 kilometers every single day just to get to Pokestops and hatch eggs and... It's crazy how many steps I've been doing.
What's interesting about Simon was showing us, and this is like if you are like the hardcore of the hardcore Pokemon Go players, Simon's got the app on his iWatch.
Yeah.
That is dope. I think that is the game changer that really keeps you in the know of how well you're doing.
It's really cool because you can like start your, because you don't even have to have the app. Absolutely. If you're just going for a walk and just want to hatch your eggs or whatever, you just start up the app, say I'm going on a walk, you put your phone in your pocket and then you just start walking if ever a egg hatches, it's gonna buzz you, hey, there's an egg hatching, you can get it. And if you want to, you can enable notifications for Pokestops and Pokemons, so it'll tell you, all right, this guy just spawned. You can't catch him, you have to open the app and actually catch it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like Pokemon Go Plus where it catches automatically and like automatically gets the Pokestop, so you have to like actually open your app and get it. But it's still really cool because like, once you're finished like your walk, it tells you how many kilometers you walk, like how many steps you took, how many calories you burn, like kind of stuff. So it's honest, it's really cool. I'm really enjoying it.
That's epic. Yep. Love it. Besides Pokemon Go, what other games you guys playing?
Cat, you go.
Assassin's Creed Origins.
Nice. Dude, the photos you are getting, like that photo you posted on social the other day, I showed my colleague and I was like, this is video games right now. This is wild. What the hell? Where do we live? Like, what time is this? It's insane.
And I'm playing on Xbox One X, so the captures I'm taking are 4K. Mm-hmm. And man, it's crazy. Let me put my profile, because I posted that photo and I think it got liked by Xbox Canada and the official Assassin's Creed account.
Yeah.
And now I'm at like 488 likes, and like that's
Jesus.
Well, what's amazing is you
that's
got
some girls on games level, like on my personal. I never get this shit.
What's interesting is that you, because you've got the eye to compose the shots, you're making these of a higher level quality than just like the normal Joe probably can, because you know how to construct an image. So you need to take more of these. Like, you should just go around and just take lots of pictures and just start releasing them. Like, it could be a whole Instagram account, just Assassin's Creed Origins on the road.
Yeah, well, they added it in Far Cry 5 and now I'm like, but I'm done Far Cry 5. You should have added it before. And they've confirmed that it's going to be an Odyssey, and let's face it, Odyssey's probably built off of Origins, so I will, if there's a photo mode, like I took a lot in Senua's Sacrifice too, so every games,
yep.
If you're making a 4K game, if you're making a pretty as fuck game in a 3D space, add a fucking photo mode. Please and
seriously.
Thank you. Because I will tweet the fuck out of these screenshots.
Catherine, you should make a whole post on the site of just like the greatest photos, tourist photos you got from Assassin's Creed Origins.
Maybe I should.
I think it'd be a good idea. I want to see the rest of them.
Some are pretty baller. For those of you who follow me on Xbox Live, you might see them, or do I have to make them public? I don't know.
I think you have to make them public.
Well, right,
unless you have that already set. I don't. I have everything turned off in case I'm reviewing something and oops.
Yeah. Well, I checked a lot of the trending photos on the website, and a lot of them are photos of tits. And I'm like, come on. You can do better.
We can do better.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, Origins, beautiful. I think I'm halfway through.
Enjoy that time. It's an amazing game. Simon.
Yes.
What are you playing besides Pokemon Go, my friend?
Not much. I'll be very honest. I've been so busy with Pokemon Go. Like, I get home from work and I start walking and I come back home. It's like 9:30, 10 o'clock and I just go to bed. But when we went to Plattsburgh, I played some Celeste a few hours. Really, really fun platformer. Fantastic game. It's very entertaining. I'm having a blast playing it. Just Shapes and Beats as well. Playing a little bit of that. I'm kind of stuck at a boss. Having a hard time beating it. It's pretty difficult. But no, that's pretty much it. Well, Destiny 2 again. Little tiny bit of the new World of Warcraft pre-expansion patch that came out Tuesday. So last Tuesday when we were recording this. Still very buggy and I lost all my mods. So it's going to be like 3 hours for me to set back up all my fucking mods before I can actually play the game. But like only in small bursts of minutes, really. Mostly Pokemon Go.
Nice. Yeah,
I'm really obsessed.
Nothing wrong with it.
Aren't you playing Siege?
I haven't played Siege in a while. I don't think I played Siege all week. Well,
loud
because,
gasp.
Yeah,
gasp,
I mean,
indeed. Well, it was kind of a short week too because we only got back on Monday, right?
Well, not only that, but the people who I play with usually are not there. So like Albin and Simon from Intijoire are in France right now.
Oh wow!
Celebrating.
World
guess.
Cup win?
Yeah, no.
Way to go, France?
They're already planning for it. I think it just happens that France won. And then other people have not really been online. So, no, not much Siege at all, actually. So
nice.
I'll probably get back into it eventually.
It comes and goes, you know. Moods change, you know. And it's kind of good to take a little break from it.
Yeah.
Game that I played, a bunch of games. So I'm still playing Minecraft. I was playing a bit more of that. The Aquatic Update came out last week. So I'm getting myself prepped to go swimming. But while we were away, I got a little notification from our friends over at Slime Rancher to test out their QA build of drones, which came out on Tuesday.
Nice.
And dear God, this is a game changer.
Oh, yeah?
Having a drone, and there's still mechanics that you still have to work and plan and think about how you're going to use them. Mm-hmm. But frig, they make life so much easier for some of the repetitive tasks you have to do. And it makes me appreciate some of the additional updates they had done previously that I hadn't jumped back into to continue, you know, to take on. So they did some upgrades to the silos so you can put more plorts in there and stuff like that. But it makes you like rethink of how you plan out your use of space in your ranch a lot more, because the drones, you can only use two in a certain spot of the range at once, and you can only really set them to one task. So they can either pick up plorts or pick up food and deliver food, pick up plorts from the ground or in the feeders or whatever. So you gotta be super particular.
These are flying drones, but they're automated.
They look like little bumblebees.
Oh,
they're so cute. They're powered by water, so they're environmentally friendly. And they fly around and do tasks for you over the day. You do have to go back and check on them and give them more water, or if they're asleep because there's no other food or plorts or something for them to do, whatever you were tasking them to do. But man, like, when I decided to play, I had to test my build on PC, and I hadn't played on PC yet, so I'd only played on Xbox. So I was like, crap, I have to start from the beginning. So within 10 hours, I powered through the entire bit. Nice. Just to get, and drones are like an advanced thing that you get near the end game, because they don't want to make it too easy
on
you.
Too easy at the beginning, yeah.
But obviously, I'm a power slime rancher now, so that was freaking dope. If you guys are interested in a really, really, really good simulation, management, farming sim, that kind of thing, go check out Slime Rancher. It's a great game, and this new drone thing just makes it 10 times better.
Cool.
The other thing that I did is the folks over at WB reached out to me and asked if I would like to check out a little movie called Rampage.
Oh,
so they sent me
Dwayne
over.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Exactly. So I was like, ooh.
How was it?
Rampage. I like it.
Oh.
It's very good. It's very much, it's a Rock game. Now, for those of you who are familiar with the video game that is Rampage, it's
that's
an older
dinosaurs
game.
And
dinosaurs. So what's interesting about this game is usually the villains are the dinosaurs and the good guys are the humans, but it's actually inverted. So you play as the creatures. And the main creatures that you see in the game are the gorilla, the like wolf-like character, and then something that's like Godzilla. Mm-hmm. And the movie takes on some similarities, but then has some differences as well. But I actually felt like it was a pretty good movie, I gotta say. I liked it more than Lara Croft or Tomb Raider. Maybe it was because my expectations weren't as high, or maybe it was because I was just right in the mood for that kind of movie.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. So if you guys want a loan, you want to check it out, it's here for you.
I see. It's got a pretty mediocre score on Rotten Tomatoes by critics, but audiences love it. So
yeah, it's a good, it's a
like
good, like,
tell you.
Can you say feel good? But I mean, like, it's a good popcorn movie for you just
exactly.
to sit back and chill.
It's just fun.
Yeah, The Rock is The Rock. Movie. He's just as good, and he's just as good looking. So good eye candy. But relationship to the game, I see where they drew the inspiration from, where they variated a bit. And I mean, story-wise, it's like, well, you know, it makes sense based on the context of the game. So, I give it a thumbs up.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, folks, I think it's time to get into the news. Are you ready?
Super ready.
Okay, let's do that right after this break. It's time for more news, and speaking of movies, guys, something dropped on Monday that was absolutely freaking fantastic. we have a little taste of what it might be like to have Nathan Fillion as the legendary Nathan Drake. An Uncharted fan film was made, and that thing is friggin' awesome.
It was pretty good, yeah. It was. I watched the whole thing, and I was surprised that, you know, it's clearly low budget. Well, low budget. It's not a movie-sized budget, but it's still very well made, and of course, you know, Nathan Fillion absolutely nails Nathan Drake, so...
Yeah, like, for everybody... Oh, now it's yelling in my ear. Why does it play a commercial? Go home. Guys, I just went in.
The worst websites.
I hate that autoplay. Anyways. Trials and tribulations of trying to record a podcast. So, yeah. What all fans have been wanting since we even thought and heard rumors about a video game movie based on the Uncharted series is everybody has been saying Nathan Fillion would play an awesome Nathan Drake. Besides the fact that his name is also Nathan, you know, like he just has the right build and can carry off the same charisma. You think about him in Firefly. You think about him in the, oh my God, the sing-along blog.
Doctor's horrible sing-along blog.
He's so good in that. And it's just like the same kind of campy humor, but he just delivers it in such a way that makes sense. This short film is shot, and you can totally tell that they picked like the proper side, right house and all this kind of stuff to be able to shoot it. You see Sully, you see Elena. Like, it's so good. Yeah. And you can see, it's almost like you had one chapter out of one of the games they took a chunk from and decided to shoot that. And it's just good.
That little transition to third person view towards the end there, like where the camera kind of shifts behind Nathan, whereas like if it was actually the video game, it was like that was actually pretty cool.
And even the whole shooting mechanic, and he's just like dodging and not getting hit. I was just like the only thing missing right now is the red as his luck. They call that as his luck goes away, but it's not his life. They say luck, but man, so good. And like, what is it at now? Views. Last time I checked, it was at 1.6 million.
If that doesn't tell you that people want an Uncharted movie, then I don't know what else.
Now, right now, Tom Holland, I believe, is the one connected to the Uncharted movie.
Yeah, officially cast as Nathan as Nathan Drake, and I'm just like, why? What?
I mean, I'm still intrigued.
Close to Nathan Drake.
Yeah. What's interesting is the guy who directed this, he's Canadian. I don't remember off the top of my head. That's why I wanted to go in the article to remind myself his name. So I'm going to scroll really, really fast, and hopefully the music doesn't play. I scrolled too far. What is his name?
I don't know.
Alan Ungwar.
It's still playing the music. Oh, good Lord. Yeah, but he's Canadian, and I think the folks, this has obviously been, must be blessed by the folks at Naughty Dog, because they were sharing it and stuff. But it just goes to show that it is possible to make a video game thing that isn't too ridiculous. I don't know if this would, like, it would be, we'd have to see if this could live to be a full feature length, but I think Nathan Fillion can pull it off and still keep it kind of normal and not forced. The only thing that I found really interesting about this is that Elena kind of helps out with some of the I guess trying to decipher stuff, and I don't remember her doing too much of that in the video games, so that'd be a cool twist to add her in as part of the you know, them trying to discover things. But the dude who played Sully was pretty awesome. When he showed up, I was like, oh my God, it's Sully. I don't remember his name off the top of my head.
It's an actor, whatever.
Yeah, but gotta say, good job, guys. Good job.
Yo, do we move on to my news if we're gonna speak about video game movies?
Yeah, let's keep going with the movies.
That awesome transition. Well, the thing is, okay, so I want to talk about it because I'm cautiously hyped, but by the time this comes out, we'll know.
No, because the press conference...
Isn't it
Saturday? Oh, it is Friday. You're right. That's tomorrow.
Yes.
Is it is tomorrow, Friday?
Or is it next week?
No, Comic-Con's going on now, so maybe it's tomorrow. Let's still talk about it. Yeah, and then if it happens, then we can just be like, this is amazing.
Then hype. Yeah, so James Gunn, famous director of the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, teased a little something on his Facebook today, a new movie he is working on that they will be announcing at Comic-Con tomorrow when I'm recording, so it's Thursday, in the afternoon. And a lot of fans think that it might be a Bloodborne movie. Because the image that James Gunn posted looks a lot like one of the runes in the game. Like, it's pretty almost identical to one of the runes in the game. So, could be that, could be nothing. I do not want to think that it's Bloodborne, because if I think that it's Bloodborne, I will be extra excited, and if it's not, I will cry. So, in my head, it is not Bloodborne. It's just a movie that he's doing, scary, whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, dark inspired or whatever, but I'm pretty sure that it's not a Bloodborne movie. It would be surprising, to say the least, if it was a Bloodborne movie. Like, it's, yes, it was a very successful game, but to the point where a movie would work, a movie would work 100% because it's a fantastic story, but like that it would be popular enough for it to have a movie. So I don't know. I mean, it is Sony announcing it as well with James Gunn, which is, you know, Sony Bloodborne exclusive. So who knows?
It's a kind of a perfect storm because like it looks like a Bloodborne rune.
Yep.
James Gunn is known for doing horror before.
Yep.
He was doing Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned it's happening at the Sony panel.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that far-fetched. And, like, you know what? It's a good story, and I think it could have enough legs to do this.
Oh, I mean, 100%. You could make 3 movies out of the story of Bloodborne easily. Like, that's not the issue. It's really just, well, first off, I don't want it to suck. If it is the thing, like, I wouldn't want it to be pretty bad. You know, I have a fucking tattoo of the game on my arm. So you can say I'm a pretty huge fan. But then again, I'd be excited to see the world of Yharnam brought to the big screen and see how that would work. You know, the main character doesn't talk, silent protagonist. So it's, you know, how do you, you know, the whole thing about From Software games is that the story is not told per se. You have to kind of look for it, and it's kind of implied and stuff. So I'm wondering how they're going to manage to tell a story that when you play the games is not explicitly, you know, told to you what it is. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Maybe it's the perfect moment to do a mind fuck of a movie like Inception or whatever, where nothing makes sense and you're just like, there's theories and shit happening online of what it is and what it means and everything. So it's, I don't know, I'm excited
because the story is, I'm not gonna say buried, but it kind of is buried.
It
actually might be easier because not as many people are related, and people just go to watch horror movies. If something's just called Bloodborne and people have no relation to it, and they see a creepy scrawling or whatever, some folks that have no relationship to video games might show up.
He's like, oh, you made movies, he's good, I like him, let's go watch the movie.
Yeah,
maybe we'll know tomorrow. I'm still very scared, and I still don't want to think about it because I feel like I'm setting myself up for disappointment. But
Simon, I think what you should do is after tomorrow,
yes, if
whatever direction it turns, turn on the microphone and add that into the podcast. Yes, it was. No, it wasn't.
Okay, I will. I'll add it myself.
Yeah, and just be like, I'm excited. No, this sucks.
Okay, I will talk to myself. So enter Simon talking to himself now.
The announcement was canceled.
Oh my goodness.
Very
I can't
good
believe
opinion. You. Very good opinion,
I
Simon.
I can't believe you just did that.
That is fantastic. That was really smart and well said, Simon. I agree with everything you just said. Awesome. Awesome.
The magic of pre-recording an interview.
That is really cool.
Podcast.
Yeah.
Oh
and
goodness.
A real super, super, super quick announcement.
Go ahead.
Monster Hunter PC date was pushed very forward. It was supposed to be October. It is now August 9th. So don't look for me August 9th. On that week.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be October. It's like, nope, just kidding. August 9th. So, don't look for me for the whole month of August, because then you got 2 weeks of Monster Hunter. Then the new WoW expansion comes out in late August or September. So I'm disappearing for August.
Well, that's what we know what you'll be talking about games you played this week.
Oh, yeah. That is
you guys have the future.
For sure. I'm just waiting for the Digital Foundry analysis
comparison
for the PC version. I know it's going to be okay. I just, you know, sometimes on day one it's kind of iffy, but so far Capcom been pretty good with PC ports, so cross my fingers. Mm-hmm. Sorry, that was my little news.
That's okay. It's good news, especially. I didn't realize it was pushed that far ahead. Yeah, and if it wasn't in the middle of festival season, I'd pick up the game too. But fortunately, I'm going to be outside in the sunshine working. So
sucks to be you.
I know. But maybe with the few days that I end up taking off afterwards, I could do it. It's just that I'll be playing alone, and it sounds like Monster Hunter is something you enjoy better with friends.
I disagree.
Okay. Okay. Good to know.
We'll talk about it later.
Okay, good. Catherine, what do you got?
Just a quick tidbit, because it really surprised me, but Octopath Traveler is sold out and backordered for a month of physical copies.
Oh,
to
wow.
The point where, like, Square Enix was like, reminder, you can buy a digital version and download it. And my reaction was
like... most regular people do.
Yeah, my reaction was like, why? Who is going out there? So many people still buy cartridges, apparently.
Wow.
I don't know.
I like the instant gratification. Want game? Download game? Play game.
I do that,
but like, you don't have to look for cartridges or anything. You just, oh, I want to play that game. Oh, I don't have it. I'll just download it. You don't have to search for fucking everything. And
oh, right. It's already on my Switch installed. I can just take my whole library with me and not
and
have to worry
not,
about it.
If it's just literally download it, but that it takes a few minutes if you have a good internet connection, and you're done. You have the game.
And the Switch expandable memory uses micro SD cards, something that is
easy.
Affordable and readily available.
Super easy.
Anyway.
Indeed.
Some people will have to wait 1 or 2 months before they get their cartridge, and I'm just like, bitch,
just
why?
Buy the digital version.
Is there anything bonus? Like, I did see that there are, and this is something you print in yourself. You can go, they've made different covers for each of the 8 characters, mm-hmm. but you download it and print them or something
yeah,
like that.
Like,
it's not like you go and there's like umpteen different versions on the shelf.
I feel like it's not like Legend of Zelda, where I think a lot of people bought the physical game as a like, as a collector's thing, and like they want the boxes and a physical, and there's like that aspect. I think there was also a collector's edition for the Legend
of Zelda. Well, I was going to say, if it's a collector's edition, then yeah, it totally makes sense that you
but
would
this is just the game.
The
this
physical
is the game.
Copy. Mm. That's,
just
that's,
the game, to the point where Square Enix is like, you can download it.
That's weird.
You don't have to wait. You can just
play now.
Buy it online.
People are weird.
I know. In some places, rural places, where internet connections are not great, downloading a game like that is not great. But at the same time, just set it and walk away and then come back. You'll definitely get it faster than, what did you say, a month? 2 months?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're definitely going to get your download faster. Mm-hmm.
Like, I get it. Like, it's not completely instant. A lot of games that, like, I think Forza, when I downloaded it, it was, like, almost 2 hours for 64 gigabytes, but I'm pretty sure Octopath Traveler is not a 64 gigabyte game.
No,
like,
I don't think so.
Forza had 4K textures. So.
Yeah, this one's pixel art and looks like dioramas.
Yeah, it's like very old school. That's the big aspect of the game, is that it's like a retro JRPG, you know, heydays of Final Fantasy. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking it's just a couple of gigs, like 10, 12. Should be manageable. Anyway, I just thought it was funny because I was like, what?
Yeah, that doesn't happen very often. Like, there was there's Switch shortages. There was, you know, console shortages. But it's not very often right now that you see software storage. God help me. Shortages.
Yes.
It's that time of the day, boss.
Yes.
Especially because the digital and just the when the mediums change from cartridges over to disc, it's obviously so much easier to do disc.
Yeah.
But of course, Nintendo has a proprietary cartridge because Nintendo's Nintendo. But you can still get it online. So it's wild.
Yeah, and you can still, like, if you ever you can always re-download your library. Once you've bought something online, like a digital download, it's never lost. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, in my head, like, when I get a physical disc and I put it, like, in my console, it should register that I bought it. Mm. And somehow tie it to my account so that I can re-download if ever the disc gets damaged.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to when the Switch online service happens, because my concern now is not losing the games or my Switch. It's losing my save files.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's what gets me more than anything else. All right, guys, I think it's time to get into topic of the show. And this week, we're talking about esports, the jobs you can get around esports that are not actually being an esports athlete. So it's really cool. We speak to the creators of the esports business program at the University of California, Irvine Division of Continuing Education. And yes, I know, they're in California, but you can take this program online. So that's really freaking cool. So we're going to get into that right after this break. We've seen the rise of esports over the past 25 years with massive growth in recent history, and like many new industries, education around these new opportunities are few and far between. We've talked on the podcast in past episodes about stories concerning university and colleges taking esports into their athletic divisions. What about learning about the business around esports? Today, we're talking with Stefan Mueller, Director of Business Programs, and Henry Ngo, who is the Programming Manager at the Esports Program at University of California, Irvine Division of Continuing Education. And we're going to talk about their new curriculum and how it can serve to educate those who wish to pursue a career around esports outside of being an athlete. Welcome, gentlemen. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Leo. Pleasure being here.
Same here. I'm absolutely delighted.
This is amazing. So before we get into everything about the program, I'd like you both to introduce a bit about yourselves and maybe give your back history and how you got into video games and esports. We'll start with you, Stefan.
Sure. I was a gamer at a very early age, playing with both my sisters, Sonic the Hedgehog. That was one of the first on Sega, and became a big fan of Call of Duty.
Nice.
From the very beginning of the franchise. And started playing more games, and when Henry came to me about the idea of creating an esports certificate program, I was very excited because I had, again, a personal connection to video games, and I was quite surprised to see how big esports was becoming around the world, with players in stadium and thousands of spectators watching them playing live. So it really got my interest, and we started talking about that with Henry.
Awesome. And how about you, Henry? How'd you get into video games?
Oh my goodness. Started back in the Nintendo days, playing those games, and then Zelda, and then Super NES, Sega Genesis, if anybody remember that. And then eventually evolved into PC, where I played World of Warcraft, Counter-Strike, and then just so many more that I can't even... I play a lot of games, as you can tell.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so gaming really... it allowed me to create meaningful relationships with people. There was a deeper connection that I had with people that I've never met. I have made friends online who, you know, have been very close, and we actually sometimes travel together to kind of meet with each other. So it's a really, really good, I mean, there's some negative sides, right, to gaming or at anything, but it's been really good as far as connecting people to, you know, common share interests.
So what was the inspiration around creating this esports program at the university?
Yeah, I can start with that, and Henry will add. We always try to look at the industries that are surrounding us, and obviously we're very close to Blizzard, Activision in LA, and we thought that we would talk to those industry as professionals and see if there was a gap in their training, because most of the time you, let's say, finish your bachelor degree and then you want to go into esports, but you don't have any formal training, despite the fact that you can be, for example, a programmer or designing games as well. And then this is when Henry came to see me.
Yeah, I actually have quite a few friends who work at Blizzard Entertainment. Mm-hmm. And through talking to them, and some of them work on the esports field, I was thinking, you know, how do you get into something like this? And they say, well, this is what you need to do. And then I'm thinking, you know, they don't really teach you these things in college yet. And so the more we talked, the more I found out that there is a gap for professionals who are in the gaming industry, but don't exactly know esports, because, you know, some of them do, like Stefan said, do know how to develop. Some of them do know how to, like manage communities and whatnot. But the esports is a different beast. And this program was designed to kind of meet that gap that professionals don't have yet.
That's really neat, because I know a lot of folks, especially because it's such a new industry. I grew up and did my undergrad and graduate degree in graphic design. And right now, that's as far as you can go. And even the curriculum that we have, it's all based on the past, what, 80 years, maybe, for the most part. Esports is even crazier, in video games. It's only been since a bit of the 80s, and so we can get into it. So it's wild to think that you guys are on the cutting edge of education and applications into real industries that are just blossoming.
Yeah, we actually talk to people from Valve, from Twitch, Microsoft, Blizzard Entertainment, Treyarch, who does Call of Duty. They're all now board members, and they've all kind of agreed with us that, you know, there is a gap, there is an opportunity for training the skills that our program is offering, and that's going to help a lot as far as getting people jobs in the esports industry.
Great. So what can students expect going into the program that you offer? What kind of classes do they take, kind of the program in general?
I can take on this one, Stefan, if you want. Okay. So after talking to our advisory board, we've hired industry professionals, people who work at Amazon, people who work at Blizzard, and even one of our first courses, Overview of Esports, is taught by Chad Smelt, who used to be a professional streamer, professional coach, and now he's the director of Esports at University of Harrisboro. So there's a lot of real world experience. One of the courses we're designing right now is project management. And the person teaching that, Nikki Quinn, is a project manager at Blizzard Entertainment.
Wow.
So she does projects, you know, like BlizzCon or Hearthstone World. So super relevant. Students who take our courses are going to have so much potential for networking, especially with the instructors. Their classmates are mostly working professionals already who either are in the gaming industry or want to get their foot in the door. The content is very relevant. It's brand new. These people are doing exactly what they're teaching. We have a really good instructional design team that creates wonderful videos, help create relevant content, making sure that the classroom is up to par to the UC Irvine standard of quality.
Yes, and the way that we designed that is to do three courses of 30 hours. So it's three units. One unit is 10 hours of content, so that students can move pretty fast. And it's offered every 6 weeks. So in a span of 3 times 6 weeks, 18 weeks, students can have all the information necessary to be very competitive on the job market and apply for esports positions. And also, we're very lucky because UCI has an esports arena and a team where they start doing scholarships. They offer scholarships every year to students to come and study at UC Irvine, and they take care of the tuitions, which is really nice.
That is really cool. So does then that offer the opportunity for students to do like internships or real life working experiences with the team that you have in house?
At this time, our program does not have any internships available yet. Mm-hmm. But we are in talks with some different companies in the local area, because as you know, in Irvine, we're really close to, you know, Blizzard. They have, and League of Legends has the studio in LA. Mm-hmm. So Twitch as well. So there's a lot of talks, but we can't say for now because it's not yet agreed upon. But we do have plans for an internship.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So is the curriculum online, in class, all online?
Yes. So the way we designed it, because we realized that we don't want to have any geographical limitation to where students can learn. So we did everything online. It's asynchronous. And then we offer the opportunity. And asynchronous means that the students can do as much as they want per week. And then once a week, they have the opportunity to meet the instructors. It's usually in the evening so that working professionals can attend. And also it's recorded. So if you're in another time zone, let's say we have students from around the world, you can then watch the recording of what was discussed and also go back to the discussion board and forum and interact with instructors and also the other students.
Mm-hmm. What kind of students do you expect to come to this program? Can it be from any walk of life? Do they have to have a prior university degree? Can they be like me, not from a business background?
Yeah. So our students come from around the world. We have students from Asia, Europe. Most of them will have already a bachelor's degree. However, that's not to say that you can't join our program if you don't have one. Mm-hmm. We are truly open to the community, and we believe in, you know, lifelong education. So if you don't have a strong understanding of the esports world already, the first course, overview of esports, will definitely get you acclimated, and then you become a pro right after you learn from that first course.
That's great. So, but you don't need any business background. I know, like, I'm super intrigued by it, and you never know, I might end up enrolling as a student. but the thing is that I don't have any business background, so I didn't know if that might cause a problem or if there's any prerequisites you think I should know.
Yeah, go ahead, Stefan.
The beauty about our Division of Continuing Education is we are open enrollment, and our mission is really to serve the community. So anybody from anywhere can enroll in our courses.
Oh, that's great.
Background.
Love it. Love it. That's awesome. And I imagine it's all in English at the moment, correct?
Correct.
Yep.
Awesome. Great. So you mentioned that you've got quite the arsenal of companies that are big in the esports world and video games in general who've helped build this program with you. What kind of things have you worked with them to do in order to construct the curriculum?
So we have what's called an advisory board, and that's filled with, you know, top-level executives or of that nature from these companies. And what we do is we talk to them about, okay, if we were to come to you with a program and a curriculum for these students, what are the skills that they need to attain in order to make them hireable? And so from that discussion, we start to design the curriculum.
That's really cool. You get it right from the source of what their needs are.
Yep.
Oh, that's excellent.
And the beauty, because we are the first program out there, we add total creativity and we started with a blank slate, and we were able to be really attentive to what the industry was telling us, because there was no preconception, there was no bias, since it was brand new.
Very exciting. After a student has finished your program, what kind of jobs are they currently going after in the esports industry?
Well, there's so many that you know, taking the first course will tell you, because it depends on their interests. There's the production side, there's the project management side, there's the event management. Right now, our curriculum is focusing on learning how to communicate effectively, and then learning how to create a successful esports event. Eventually, we'll want to do a little bit more. There's so much to talk about, right? Like, you have, even on your podcast, Girls on Games, we have a talk for women in gaming that we have already, and we'd love to continue that. We also have want to do things like loot boxes. Is that gambling? So there's a lot more to talk about. And right now we're starting with three to test the waters. So far it seems very successful, but there's still definitely a lot more for us to research and create classes for.
Yeah, that's excellent, because I know a lot of folks now, like, there's random esports events popping up everywhere, and here in Canada and North America in general, you can really see the money rolling in. Big industry is starting to get involved in sponsoring these events. We have one now in Montreal, Toronto area called Northern Arena that, like, the big telecoms have jumped onto, my employer included. but it's really cool to see how fast it's growing, and to know that there are jobs and that you folks are preparing students to be able to go after them.
Yeah, I mean, just... I think last month, Fortnite announced $100 million in prize pool for their esports tournaments next year. Mm-hmm. So as you can imagine how big esports has gone, and Fortnite is such a new game, and to be able to command that kind of prize pool money, it's only going to get bigger from here. Mm-hmm. So all the jobs that come with that, you know, I believe our program prepares the students for. Mm-hmm.
And to your point, I just came back from a conference in Sweden. It's HEVGA, which is the Higher Education Video Game Association. And I presented actually about esports, and they were very excited about the opportunities that students have once they finish our three courses. And it was just phenomenal to see, even in Sweden, how fast growing of an industry it was, and the need and the desire to develop esports very quickly.
Now, for recruiting for students, do you think you'll go and attend some of the events and set up a booth there and preach all the awesomeness that's going to be the program, the esports program at University of California?
Yeah, actually, I've gone to a few events. I've gone to E3. I've gone to BlizzCon. We haven't officially set up a booth yet, although that might be something in the future, Stefan, that we can probably set up.
Just give it ideas, that's all. How to recruit them, how to bring in those bodies. When did the program exactly start?
Ooh. Conception-wise, I believe 3 years ago, right, Stefan? Okay. When I came to
you.
So it takes, some backing where we talk to Stefan, and then we talk to the associate dean. Then if that gets approved, then the dean, and then the campus approves that. And then we have to talk to the advisory board, create a meaningful curriculum, mm-hmm. and then hire people who are currently working in the industry, who are very relevant to, who does relevant things to what they're teaching. So all of that took about 3 years.
Okay.
To be, so we weren't trying to rush it because we wanted to have that high quality that, UCIDC stands for. And so we have a great team of instruction designers, and the beautiful thing about the instructors are they're so passionate about this industry. They're so passionate about helping people understand it, because it's come a long way. It's no longer that gamer in the basement. These are athletes. They train 10 hours a day, 15 hours a day even. Now with Overwatch League, they're getting paid a base salary on top of endorsements. So it's different, and not enough people know about it yet, although it's growing. Stuff like Heroes of the Dorm is really good. And when we're just on that, spearheading the higher education side, because there's still so much more research to be done.
And have you had any graduates yet?
This fall, we will. Yes. Fall 2018.
Yeah, the first round of graduates. Yep. That's amazing. Yes. And say we're 5 years down the road, where do you see this program?
Well, I think like Henry said, we want to start with three courses that are really the core curriculum, required courses to really prepare an esports professional. And then after that, we want to grow it for at least two other courses, which will become a certificate program, because we have two lengths. We have the specialized studies, which is what we're doing now, which is mm-hmm. three courses. And then when you add two more, you can have a certificate program. And those two additional courses will be more tailored to a specific area of esports, which we're still thinking about and talking to our advisory board to see what would be the very best next two courses to create, so that students now can be more specialized into one area and another.
Oh, great. Do you ever see this becoming a bachelor's degree or even a master's degree?
The sky is the limit. We can transfer the credits, and we'll talk to our counterpart on campus and with the UCI Sports Arena. Why not?
That would be so cool. If you guys make that, I will go back to school and get another master's degree, okay?
Awesome.
All right, well, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the show, both Stefan and Henry. I want you to give a chance to shout out where people can find out more information on the program, and then also for yourselves, if people want to track you down on social media or LinkedIn or something, if they have questions for you, or maybe, new students want to join up in the ranks and continue learning in their esports education on the business side.
Absolutely, and we're going to do something even more special for the students that will refer that they heard about the certificate program on your show.
Ooh.
With a 10% discount.
Amazing.
You just have to say your beautiful podcast and that's it.
Amazing. I love that. Ah, great. I'm going to be preaching to this to everybody now. It's like, you guys need to go do this program.
Excellent. And Henry, do you want to give some information?
Yeah, and also before that, you know, as I mentioned before, one of our instructors is Nikki Quinn. She also does a girls gaming camp here with us at UCI. Excellent. And I know she would be definitely interested in, you know, coming back here with us. And if you would have us, you know, talk about more about women in gaming. So in the future, that would be something of interest, I think.
Oh, I'm totally open to that. Let's do it.
Yep. Where they can find us is we are at UCI DCE. You know, if you just search eSports Certificate Program at UCI, we're the first and only one. as far as social media, let's see, we're working on a Twitch page. I know we have an Instagram with Brett, right, Stefan? I'm not too familiar with that one.
Correct. I think the easiest is CE for continuingeducation.uci.edu, ce.uci.edu, and simply type eSports and you'll have all the information there.
Perfect. And of course, as always, we'll be linking that in the show notes for this episode, be it in the article on if you're listening to this through iTunes or iHeartRadio, or if you head over to girlsongames.ca, you will find the links there as well. So once again, thank you, Stefan. Thank you, Henry. This is awesome. I'm super stoked that finally video games is getting into higher education. It's so exciting.
Merci beaucoup. Thank you so very much for having us. And I'll continue listening to your podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leah.
Well, that pretty much closes out our show for this week. But of course, as always, want to thank our wonderful website host, streaming hosting partner, Funio. They're awesome. And if you're looking for a website host, be it for something quite large, like you want to start an e-commerce website, or maybe you want to start your own video game website, you can do so with them. Stream Team. Sounds like everybody's doing pretty well.
Yes, so Asika right now, go check out the VOD. She was just streaming We Are Thursday, so she was just streaming from the Stream Labs headquarters.
Ooh.
So go check out the VOD there, and girlsongames.tv if you want to look at the team's page. The new team's page that Mixer introduced looks pretty good.
Yeah, the new design of Mixer is really nice.
Very cool.
They cleaned up a lot.
Much more responsive than what it used to be, and look at.
Yeah, I felt like that when they moved it from Beam over to Mixer, they just essentially changed the logo out and they wanted to get things stable and some of the back end figured out of the, I guess, the operations behind the scenes. But they went and released the redesign. I know it was a rolling release. Not everybody got it at once. But as soon as I saw the link, I clicked on it and mine was
That's
updated.
Really good.
And I got, it's really, really nice.
Mm-hmm. Looks much better.
Yeah, indeed. Website highlights. Kat, what's going on the website? I know it's summertime.
Yeah, it's pretty quiet, but it was Love Indies on Twitter this week. So
that's true.
Love Indies, it's encouraging people to recommend, review, or just give a shout out to some of their favorite indie games. So if you go to girlsongames.ca and you go into gaming, there's an indie section. I recommend that you browse it and maybe discover a game. In there, you'll find stuff on Monster Prom, Florence, Where the Water Tastes Like Wine, Iconoclast, Doki Doki Literature Club, Dream Daddy, In the Shadows, Cuphead, Sundered. And I'm just like scratching the surface here.
There's a lot of them.
Even if we don't have articles up, go play Slime Rancher. It's coming out on PS4 and they've got a nice theme too.
If you haven't though, you can listen to the episode where we had an interview with Katie.
Kara.
Sorry. I thought of Katie Holmes.
The person.
Instead of Kara
Katie
Holmes.
Katie Holmes. Yeah, I see
instead
that.
Of Kara Holmes. It. But we have an interview with Kara of Slime Rancher. So the studio that makes Slime Rancher. So you can go listen to that episode. You can also check our backlog of episodes. We've covered a lot of games. We've done 169 episodes. If you haven't listened to every one.
How dare you.
Yeah. Number one. Number two. Go Fight see me. The backlog. We've had a lot of great interviews with smaller people that work on smaller projects, but that are little gems. So hashtag love indies.
Hashtag love indies indeed. All right, want to thank everybody for being on the show this week. Give them a chance to shout out their social media handle so you can go track them down, because Simon's got a nice picture of his tattoo and Catherine's got awesome pictures of our friend Bayek on his boat. So, folks, here's your time.
So I'm CSDSBINS on Twitter, Instagram, and Xbox Live if you want to see the photos before I tweet them out.
How about you, Simon?
I changed handle.
What?
Oh, whoa.
We don't like change. We don't like change.
I know, but I'm pretty happy with the new one.
What's the new one?
I am 40_GG on everywhere now, Instagram and on Twitter.
Nice.
So I post a lot of Instagram now. So if you want to go hang out, try to at least make a post. One. I try. Well, I just did a Leah there.
It's a thing.
Yeah, it's a Leah. So I try to post at least once a day, just about all sorts of stuff, about working out, about Pokemon, about video games, about anything. So, 40_GG on Twitter and on Instagram.
Loves it. I am Leah Jew on most social media platforms. GOG Leah on Mixer and Xbox Live. Hopefully soon, my life will calm down and I'll be actually able to stream again, because now that I've seen the Mixer's thing, I'm like, oh, I want to get back into streaming. It's been so long. I should do a speed run of Slime Rancher. Because I love that game. But of course, you want to know everything there is to know about Girls on Games. You can track us down at The Girls on Games on Twitter and Facebook. We're just Girls on Games on Instagram. If you want to continue this lovely conversation and more, you can check us out on Discord. It's discord.me/girlsongames. But of course, anything you need to know at all, you can check it out on our website. That's our home base. It's girlsongames.ca. So thank you, Kat. Thank you, Simon. Well wishes to Adam and Allie. I'm sure Allie will be back next week. They're just doing that, you know, newlywed thing. And have a lovely week in games. And tweet us what you're playing right now. I'm curious. All right? Tweet us. All right. We'll talk next week.
Bye.
Bye.